Blog Talk Radio.
From deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, Blog Talk Radio and Wildlife Educational Services presents Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we visit his wild world.
Hello, everyone, from the remote jungles of Clinton Falls, Indiana, and Chautauqua Lake, New York. This is Larry Batson. Welcome to My Wild World. I'm going to tell you, today has been an eventful day. We've had a bit of snow here in Indiana, if you're not aware of that. And, of course, nothing like what they've had up in the eastern part of the country. But it's been tough. But, see, here's the deal, folks. I live on a hill. This is where the wild animal compound. We live in a very remote area. And we live on a hill, and our driveway goes up a hill. And in the wintertime, if we do not have to go down this hill, we use it for a toboggan run. So that gives you an idea of the velocity, the steepness, and now the snow. And silly me, we were at the school today in Trafalgar, Indiana. We had wolves and baboons and snakes and tarantulas and what else? Oh, a bobcat. And so usually in the animal truck, the compound truck, this is called the Beast. The GMC Beast that has 400,000 miles on it. Normally, I heavily laden it with concrete blocks in the rear over the rear axle. Well, stupid me doesn't do that. So here we are. We're finishing our program. We're coming home, and I'm looking at the hill and the driveway. And of course, it's kind of like the Baja 500. What you do is you back up, and you get going as fast as you can, and you don't let off that gas, because if you let off, you're going to be hung up on that hill. So here I'm going. I'm a-going, and I get about three-quarters of the way up. I can see the house, and all of a sudden, we're not going any farther. So I have to back down the hill. Now, of course, backing down the hill is an adventure in its own, because we have a bridge that you have to cross, and the bridge isn't that wide, and the bridge spans a creek with a pretty severe drop-off, so you want to make sure you don't go too far to the right or too far to the left. So I'm backing up down this hill, and God love my wife. She's watching, you know. She says, go right, go right, go right. And then when I touch the brake, you just start sliding down the hill, kind of going sideways. Well, before it was all said and done, there I was hung up on the hill. I couldn't go any farther because I was afraid I was going to go into the cavern, the ravine of death that goes into our creek. So here we are unloading all the wild animals. We're carting them up the hill to the home and to the compound. And oh, yes, I had to call the old wrecker to get me off the hill, but I was afraid I was not going to be able to make it tonight, but we got her done. So I'm still dealing with that, but folks, it's been a crazy week for us here in Indiana. All you know, the Indianapolis Colts, oh, they've let us down. But, you know, I was watching the pregame on this deal. And I'm watching this pregame, and they're talking about the Saints and how, of course, the horrible things that the city of New Orleans has gone through. Then all the wonderful things the New Orleans Saints football team has done for the community. And I'm watching this, and I'm thinking to myself, karma, the wheel of karma is not going to allow the Indianapolis Colts to win this football game. So I was absolutely right. So I don't feel too bad about it afterwards. Of course, the whole area's been kind of in a blue gloom, but we'll get over it. You know, there's going to be many more Super Bowls for the Indianapolis Colts, at least until Peyton leaves, so we'll see what happens. I hope everybody's had a great week. We've got a fantastic guest. In fact, I have to tell you tonight, this has been one of my good friends for many, many years. Now, I have, for the past, 30 years, traveled and done what's known as the outdoor show, sports show circuit with my animal programs, and also we did a show called Rattlesnake Roundup, where we'd actually build a desert, go through the desert and collect and collect rattlesnakes and Gila monsters and tarantulas. So I've done this for so many years, and, you know, it's like a big family when you do these sports shows, because there's all these exhibitors from different parts of the country, which you really, if you're at a show like the one in Cleveland, Ohio, which used to be 10 days, I mean, you went out to dinner with these folks. I knew a lot of these folks on the sports show tour better than my people, my friends here at home, and they were very close to me. So years ago, I'm going to tell you right now, he's probably one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. I was so thrilled when he said he'd be on the show. He's from Chautauqua Lake, New York, and I call him the ambassador for Chautauqua Lake, because wherever you see him at these sports shows, he's all New York. His booth is solid New York, and this man is always on. He's probably the best promoter, one of the best salesmen I've ever met as far as the tourism industry. He has the very, very nice, and folks, you want to look this up, quite the resort. It's called the We Want You Cottages and Resort. From Chautauqua Lake, Mr. Peter Weimer. Peter, how you doing, buddy?
Good, Larry. What a guy, what a guy.
I had to catch myself, because whenever I call you Peter Weimer. I can't do that tonight. So it's great to have you on the show. Now, what we were talking before we went on the air, and you've been working on a project there at the at your resort. And you're actually building an ice castle. Is that right?
That's right. We're closed during the winter, and about 5 miles up the road up in Mayville, New York, they hold a winter festival, which is literally going to be going on this coming weekend. And it's called the Ice Castle Extravaganza. It's been going on since 1987. And I was the first chairman of the Ice Castle Extravaganza, and a group of volunteers from the neighborhood, and we cut ice blocks out of the lake, because Chautauqua Lake used to have an ice harvesting industry back at the turn of the century, and we built this ice castle similar to what's built up in Lake Saranac, New York, and over there occasionally in Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minnesota, and we light it up from the inside. Well, after I got done with my volunteer stint with the community, we last 5, 6, 7 years we've been building our own little miniature ice castle out in front, and we built the biggest miniature ice castle we've ever built this year, and we have beautiful pictures of our ice castles from the past several years on our webpage, but this one here is going to give a run for the money for the local neighborhood. It's got to be about 5 feet tall.
Yeah.
And then we have these icicles on top of them, which make it look like a Superman castle. And it's probably 12 to 15 feet long. And we got 2,500 watt light bulbs, different colors inside. It's just glows.
Oh,
you can see it quarter of a mile away as you're driving down there, and it only looks really super cool at night, because during the day it just looks like a pile of ice, but at night it's got a whole shape and form of its own. I mean, it looks like a castle during the day too, but that's been our project for the last week and a half, but it's a labor of love, you know.
Well, I was going to ask you, first of all, I assume that if you went to the Google satellite map, you would see it, huh? Have you tried that yet?
No, I don't think you can see it, but it is pretty bright. I think of that movie that the guy tried to make his house look so bright with Christmas tree lights that they'd see it from space. But
Christmas Vacation, yeah.
Yeah, something like that, right?
So what's involved building an ice castle?
Well, we started out years ago just collecting chunks of ice that fall off our house, or icicles, the big ones that are on our house or our neighbors' houses, and we make it into like a half circle and throw lights behind it. And then we evolved into, we bought these little containers from Walmart, like a liter 0.75. They're not Rubbermaids. They're obviously the company that unfortunately put Rubbermaid probably out of business. And we fill them with water on the back porch on the north side of the house so it doesn't get very much sun. And we make ice blocks, and then we haul them up to the road. We built this ice castle right at the edge of the main highway that we live on here, right by the state right-of-way, so we don't get yelled at by the state, but just inside on our land so everybody can see it from a ways away. And we slush them together and light them up, and it's really is a pretty, it's prettier than Christmas tree lights outside, that's for sure.
Well, I'll bet. I mean, gosh, what an extravaganza.
And up in Mayville, and up in Mayville, they built an ice castle. I bet you it's every bit of 20 feet tall by, could be 50, maybe 100 feet long. And they're going to have a big winter festival this President's Day, Saturday and Sunday, this coming weekend. And Mayville is like the snowmobile town USA for our part of Western New York. We get a lot of Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Buffalo snowmobilers, and that's the center of the universe 5 miles away, and they're going to have this big ice castle winter festival there this coming weekend.
Well, heck, you might even get some of those folks that come over and look at yours.
You know I will. They can't miss me. I'm right on the main drag.
So in the construction of these ice castles, is there a little special beverages consumed?
You know, we do have some warmer uppers during the evenings when we're out there slaving away and building our ice castles. My wife, Kathy, has been known to bring us beverages, and so we're thankful for the support.
Yeah. Little antifreeze. So what kind of a winter has it been this year?
It hasn't been all that bad. We're 13 miles from Lake Erie, so we get some good lake effect snows, and it's not as snowy as it was last year. I think last year we got 295 inches of snow, and this year last year was one of the mother of all winters, and this year we're probably, 170, 160 or something, which we're happy about, because last year we felt like it was just the doldrums here because it was so much snow.
Well, it feels like that here, and we've only had about 25 inches so far.
We got whacked once real good this winter. It was like New Year's Eve weekend. We got 5 feet of snow in about a day and a half. More snow than I can remember ever seeing in a day and a half, and it was like a winter wonderland up here. They didn't close the school on Monday, though. The snow stopped Sunday evening about 10 p.m., and the schools opened Monday morning. It was like business as usual.
You're kidding.
It takes a lot of snow to close a school down in Western New York.
Well, I guess that's true, because you guys prepared for snow removal.
Yes, I think so.
That's one of the things I noticed when years and years ago, I had to go up to Rice Lake, Wisconsin in January. Yeah, and we took up a reptile exhibit. Live reptiles in January in Wisconsin. That's the deal.
That's taking a chance, huh?
Oh, jeez, Benny. Well, we took up the reptile exhibit, and also we had to do shows up there, and I think the warmest it got was 16 below zero for the entire time we were there.
Oh, my God.
And those people are sick. They like it. Huh. They actually enjoy that. I'm thinking, wait a minute. But it was, but everything, and I'm sure it's the same way in Western New York, every milk truck vehicle had a snow plow in the front of it.
Oh, wow.
And they'd get a big snowstorm, and the next day, not only would the streets would be cleared, but also the sidewalks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I'm sure it's the same way where you're from.
We've got good snow. The state of New York spends a lot of money, as everybody reads in the paper, and they probably spend a lot of it, thankfully so, on removing the snow.
Well, that's so the Chautauqua Lake. Now, is that is it just one lake up in that area that you're that you your resort?
Yeah, Chautauqua Lake's a glacier-made lake. It's about 18 miles long by a mile and a half wide. Mm-hmm. It's like one of the Finger Lakes, but we're not considered a Finger Lake. The Finger Lakes would be farther east by about maybe 120 miles. We're in the westernmost part of the state between Buffalo, New York, and Erie, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And so we're Cleveland, Pittsburgh, and Buffalo's playground as far as people that are trying to get away for the weekend. We're 3 hours drive from Pittsburgh, 2.5 hours from Cleveland, hour and a half from Buffalo. And I think of that, it's a beautiful lake. It's one of, if not the cleanest freshwater lakes in New York State. It's artesian wells and natural spring fed with a couple of three little creeks that help feed the lake and raise the water level when it rains a lot. The water that flows into Chautauqua Lake, we're real close to the Continental Divide. It's just literally on the other side of the hill from Chautauqua Lake. The water that runs into Chautauqua Lake goes into the Allegheny, into the Mississippi, and down to the Gulf of Mexico. It's one of the earliest tributaries east of the Mississippi that feeds the Mississippi. And it starts right here at Chautauqua Lake, and then it goes on down the stream past the other cities and stuff on the way to New Orleans, the new Super Bowl champions.
I don't want to hear it.
I heard you saying that bit about Indianapolis, and of course we're the home of the Buffalo Bills around here.
Oh,
so,
prayers.
I know, we just keep getting kicked, and we stand back up, but I'm sure everybody feels that way of their football team until they win a Super Bowl. So,
well, we've done that. So,
yeah.
But it was, the New Orleans thing. If anybody was going to do it, I'm glad it was them. And they
right.
played a better game. They played a better game. But besides that,
right.
So Chautauqua Lake. That's muskie fishing, huh?
Right. It's got one of the best muskie fisheries in New York State or in this tri-state region. It's also great bass fishing, pan fishing, walleye fishing's okay. It's not as strong as the bass, musky, perch fishing. And so we get, in September they have a couple of bass tournaments that are held in Ohio that pick Chautauqua Lake to be their championship lake that they do their final fishing tournament on. And a lot of people know about the good fishing on Chautauqua Lake. And so we're sitting right here waiting for you folks to come and go fishing with us.
Well, I've heard about the muskie fishing. In fact,
yep.
I have an old friend, Spence Petros, who's quite the muskie fisherman. It's in his blood.
Wow.
And, he lives and breathes fishing for muskie. And I've been told, I've never done it. I used to fish a lot, but in the last few years I've discovered that snake collecting and rattlesnake collecting was a little more exciting. A lot of people wouldn't agree with that, but the big muskies. Now, I've been told you take 100 casts to every strike.
That's what I've heard too, right?
Do you pursue the muskie yourself?
We've fished for them. We've cast off the dock. I've never caught a muskie yet. We've had a lot of close follow-ups and stuff,
mm-hmm.
but that's just as exciting, as catching a muskie. Now that I have three little kids, Justin's 9 years old, and Jenna's 11, and Jessica's 5. They're all little fisher persons, and, but
I can see it.
You should. I mean, we go down to the dock in the spring and sometimes in the summer and in the fall and cast off, early evening, late at night or whatever, and the kids are just so excited about that. It's great.
What's the biggest muskie that you know that's come out of that lake?
I've seen in the newspaper in the past 54 and a half, 55 inches. You know, hopefully nowadays most of the fishermen will take a picture and measure it and then release it, so you don't really see any pictures of guys holding muskies at their cottage like they used to in the olden days. But then again, you know, they buy a fishing license or they rent a cottage, and you know, if they want to keep a muskie that's legal, that's their prerogative. It's not my law that. But then there's a lot of big muskie in here. There's a muskie fish hatchery on Chautauqua Lake that's run by the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation, basically the Fisheries Department of New York State. And they release maybe a third to half of the muskies that they raise in this fish hatchery in Chautauqua Lake, and the rest of them they you know, truck to the other lakes in New York State, or maybe they sell some to other states.
You know, that's pretty important, the catch and release concept, and that's, gosh, I think it's really gotten big in the last, 10 years or so.
Right. I've seen it, too, on as you see some of these sports fishing shows on TV, even the big ocean deep-sea charters. I mean, the fact that they're all trying to do a more of a release, catch-and-release fishing expedition is going to help the fishery in the long run, their livelihood and the health of the fish.
Well, we had on a couple, 3 weeks ago, Billy Sandifer, who's from Padre Island, Texas, and he's a deep-sea fishing captain, and now with sharks, they tag them and release them.
Wow.
He keeps no sharks anymore. He said they used to, you know, they used to harvest them and bring them close to the boat and basically hit them with a pole or shoot them in the head. He says, no more.
Wow.
So, you know, there's got to be a breaking point.
Yeah, and I think the sports fisheries, at least here in the United States, recognizes the importance of doing the catch and release thing to keep their fisheries strong and their business is basically afloat, because otherwise if they catch them and kill them all, there ain't going to be any fish left over for anybody to go and catch anymore.
Well, right, it's bad for your business and the whole general commerce there in Western New York.
Right.
You've got to have those fish swimming around the water. Of course, now you've been involved with a lot of youngsters in outdoor education and fishing.
Right.
And you developed something that was pretty cool. In fact, you sent me a DVD of it a while back. I have to tell you something, Peter. We have an olive baboon.
Yeah.
Baby olive baboon that we adopted last. In fact, her first birthday was January the 16th. And she loves to watch television. So one day I popped in that DVD of, it's Milt the Talking Muskie, is that correct?
That's correct.
The baboon thoroughly enjoyed it.
Did she? So Milt the Talking Muskie was a fun adventure for us. It was it's a preschool to a second grade sight word learning, kind of like a karaoke sing along song DVD, which teaches 86 sight words in the text of the 4 minute song, which they can read as they are singing along.
Right,
and it's. We shot the video in the muskie tanks at the muskie fish hatchery on Chautauqua Lake here at Prendergast Point, and we got all these little muskies swimming around this underwater stage that we built, and it seems surreal now that it's about 4 years ago that we did this, but we set up a microphone stand underwater and a couple of floor speakers and, you know, little models. And
yeah.
Had a little model of Milt the Talking Muskie singing in this speaker or in this microphone, as these little muskies were swimming around the stage, and it's a mesmerizing effect. You know, kids
yes.
like looking at aquariums, mm. and they like looking at underwater video, and it catches the eyes of the kids. And in fact, one of our past employees 2 years ago was also tutoring some kids on the side, and she was tutoring two autistic twin boys that were 6 years old at the time, and apparently the one boy attempted speech for the first time ever after watching Milt the Talking Muskie. So maybe
wow.
maybe someplace there's a home for Milt, and he hasn't hit it yet, and but you know, if he makes an impact on one person, I feel like I accomplished something in my life, and that was a great thing.
Well, absolutely. I mean, especially with, it's like we had on Mark Fowler, who now produces documentaries for Discovery National Geographic, and they took Special Olympic athletes up Mount Kilimanjaro.
Wow.
And he said it was a life-changing experience. And he said those youngsters, that when they made it to the summit, you know, most people that summit that mountain, you know, they're excited. But when they summit Mount Kilimanjaro, these youngsters, they were just beyond elated.
He said, no kidding.
Oh, yeah. He says it was just phenomenal. So, there's something to be said about the proper way to present television, and especially when it comes to, well, what you've done here with the muskie. I'm telling you right now, Peter, that baboon was hypnotized.
Really?
Yes. So it was like, it was...
That's cool.
Yeah, I like
well,
what,
you know, it might like have been them. The underwater video, it might have been,
uh-huh.
you know, the beat of the music. The
mm-hmm. Absolutely. But anyway, but that's a fantastic program. Is the DVD still available?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure you probably got a garage load of them.
You know it, you know, but we lived and learned. But the present DVD is, in my opinion, a perfect one. There's a couple of PDF files that if you pop it into your computer, one of them is a 40-page coloring book, which has 228 sight words. Sight words are words that you can't phonetically kind of speak out. You have to memorize them, and thus they're called sight words because they're just not something that you can sound out easily. And so there's, but it's all at milkthetalkingmuskie.com,
uh-huh.
and you can see a sample of it and hear the song and really check it out long before you have to buy it if you wanted to buy it. And we think it's pretty reasonable, so that's a project that's out there. And then Milt the Talking Muskie just started a new project this year called iKidsFishing.com. And iKidsFishing is a kids' TV fishing show that we're producing that we're going to bring out on a DVD in March of
really?
kids teaching other kids how easy it is and how cheap it is to go fishing for panfish. And we want to teach the general population, the parents and grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles, how easy it is to take your kids fishing to maybe a local public fishing spot, and how you buy the nice, keep it simple, kiss it, keep it simple and safe, and everybody wears a life jacket and they buy the cheap, good fishing poles, and you don't have to buy the expensive stuff, and unbelievable how happy the kids are when they catch a fish. It's obviously why people come here to We Want You with their families to take their kids fishing as part of their vacation experience. And there's 40 million sports fishermen in America, and I don't believe there's one other kids TV fishing show that's targeting kids. And of course we have three superstars that are in our family that are 5, 9, and 11 that are just natural-born fishermen. And it's been a fun adventure in this project, too.
What an outstanding program. I mean, that's you know, it's just genius.
Well, we're getting lucky. We hope it's genius if it goes to the moon, but if nothing else, my kids will maybe remember it when they grow up as being that their father took them on a fun adventure, you know?
Absolutely. Well, folks, go ahead.
At the same website, you can upload a picture of any kid, any age, with a picture of their fish for free, and then compare those pictures of fish with other kids' pictures around the world. And so we're hopeful that that'll take off someday as well.
Wow, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Full of good ideas.
Thanks.
Oh,
well, Larry, I mean, you're the Bigfoot superstar. I mean, we got to talk about your Bigfoot a little bit, because when I first met Larry 17 years ago or so at the Sport Travel and Outdoor shows, you know, he was telling me about his Bigfoot adventures, and I kept telling you that you should, like, go to these shows with a booth for Bigfoot, because we know, you know, from seeing it on TV that people are following Bigfoot, and you're certainly a world-renowned authority on Bigfoot. I mean, I kid you not, I tell my friends, obviously, and you know that to be true about your status in the Bigfoot community.
Oh, yeah.
I know this guy named Larry Batson, who, if you knew what Larry and I knew about Bigfoot, and I just laugh about it, because people look at me like, they know I'm pretty normal, but they think I'm out there if I believe in Bigfoot. But
right.
Well,
I had a friend come up to me and says, how can you be an expert in something that we don't know for sure exists? And I said, you have to be good. You have to be good.
Well,
we're going to take a break, everybody. We're going to be back in a few. We got some PSAs. That's public service announcements. We're going to be back with Peter Weimer.
What a guy, Larry.
From Who You Want You Cottages up in Chautauqua Lake. And you're listening to Larry Batson's Wild World, and this is Blog Talk Radio.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio.
There are some visitors you'd just rather not see. Like your obnoxious brother-in-law, Louie.
Hey, everybody, we're here. It's good to see you. When do we eat?
But then there are some visitors you just can't get enough of. To make your farm or ranch a more attractive place for the visitors you actually want to see, contact your local Natural Resources Conservation Service office. They can help you build the habitat wildlife loves. But as for Louie, try disconnecting the doorbell. This message brought to you by USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service and this radio station.
Hi, this is Pat Green. The blood supply is at critically low levels, and you can help. Call the American Red Cross at 1-800-GIVE-LIFE. That's 1-800-GIVE-LIFE to schedule your appointment to donate blood. Your donation is critical because every 2 seconds someone in America needs blood. That's accident victims, surgical candidates, and cancer patients, just to name a few. Please donate blood and encourage your friends, family, and neighbors to give too. Please call the American Red Cross at 1-800-GIVE-LIFE or visit givelife.org to make your appointment. Thank you.
Duty, freedom, country, family. They're the values that make America strong and what our armed forces are fighting to defend.
While many talk about these ideals without action, they are just empty words.
If you think America's military families deserve more, log on to thanksusa.org. It's a great way to thank our troops and give military families the gift of education.
thanksusa.org. Scholarships for America's military families. You can make a difference.
Hi, this is Paul McCartney on behalf of Rad. If you're drinking, you can't drive my car or any car. Remember, if you're partying this holiday season, don't drink and drive. Got it? It's just not worth it. Doesn't make sense. Thank you.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Take me fishing and show me how to drive the boat.
Take me fishing so I can tell you what a great dad you've been.
Take someone you love out on the water and see where the water takes you.
Take me fishing because I miss my boy.
Rediscover the joy of boating and fishing. Get information and get going at takemefishing.org.
Welcome back to Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, here's your host, Larry Batson.
Hello, everybody. This is Larry Batson. Welcome to my wild world, and got quite a great show tonight. We're all the way up in the Chautauqua Lake, New York, with my good friend Peter Weimer at the We Want You Cottages, and he's the ambassador, I would say, of Chautauqua Lake for fishing, outdoor education, and kids. They've got some great programs, which we've been talking about. And one of my good friends for, say it's been 17 years, Peter?
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
Well, you know, I wanted to tell you a little bit earlier when I was discussing my white van, the Beast. Do you remember the time you took me to Kmart to buy a battery for that thing?
Yeah. Oh, that's the van that you're talking about, huh?
Oh,
Larry.
400,000 miles.
Wow.
I'm telling you. The GMC, man. Americans can still build a pretty good product.
Here Larry is. He takes his rattlesnakes back to his hotel room, wheels them up on a two-wheel dolly in boxes past the front desk as he takes them up to his room.
Yeah. And they're rattling inside.
I remembered. I mean, you always had to have special passes to get by, but that was an amazing life.
Well, one of the funniest stories when we go to the sports show in Monroeville, Pennsylvania, a suburb of Pittsburgh, is that during the shows, I'd always take my rattlesnakes back up to my room each night. And some of the days were short days. In other words, we didn't have to go to work till like 3 or 4 in the afternoon, so I just leave the snakes up in my room and go out to have breakfast or lunch or whatever. So I'd always cover them up with a big blanket. And it got so the Radisson Hotel knew that I was doing this, and they were very cooperative. God bless them. But there was a maid that came in there one day, and she turns on the vacuum cleaner. And she's just sweeping away. Well, of course, the vibration of the vacuum cleaner and stuff, those rattlesnakes started rattling inside those boxes.
Oh, jeez.
So she would hear that, and then when she'd turn off the vacuum cleaner, they'd quit. So she thought, well, I'm just hearing something. So she'd turn the vacuum cleaner on again, then they'd start rattling again. So she takes the vacuum cleaner to the maintenance department of the Radisson Hotel. She tells the guy in maintenance, he says, well, there's something wrong with this vacuum cleaner. You know, every time I turn it on, there's a bearing or something going out in the motor of it. So here's the maintenance guy. You know, he turns it on. Of course, there's nothing. He turns it on and off. And she goes, that's weird. It's not making that sound anymore. So he gets to thinking about this, and he says to her, he says, where did you hear this sound? It was like the 8th or 9th floor. They'd always stick me way up there. And he'd ask, what room?
Oh, jeez.
Well, it was all. And I didn't hear this story till like 2 years later when she happened to be my maid again. And she walked into the room and I was in there and she said, you know, 1 year. But that was quite funny. I have to tell you that we had a Canadian friend from Pleasant Grove Cottages up in Ontario. And his name was Bruce. And one night we were going to go out for dinner, what I'd do is I think I had two or three big diamondbacks with me, eastern diamondbacks, and I'd always put them in the bathtub, and so they could, I don't know, exercise or whatever, and I'd close the door. There's no way they could ever get out. Then I'd put the Do Not Disturb sign on my door so no maid or whatever would come in and check my mini bar or anything and accidentally walk into that bathroom.
Yeah.
So he comes in and he says, hey, before we go out to dinner, can I use your restroom? And I said, absolutely. I said, there's a couple snakes in the bathtub there, but don't worry about them. He says, what? He peeks around the corner and sees those two rattlesnakes. Of course, they're kind of looking at him. They're not doing anything. They're just coiled up in that bathtub. Well, he tried to go to the bathroom. It absolutely would not work.
Oh, geez.
He said, there is no way. He says, I'll have to wait till we get to the restaurant. There is no way. And he would talk about that for years and years. We had too much fun.
Yeah, those are good shows, Larry. I mean, they're very effective for your business and our business and the typical person to go out and try to find vacation destinations.
I always said that a lot of people would say, gosh, it costs $7, $8 to get into those things. I think, well, think about this. You have an opportunity to go up and actually look someone in the face and talk to them, where versus now with the internet, which is I know it's a great tool, but nothing like talking to your person that you're going to spend your money on your vacation right face to face.
I agree.
And for that, and you can, you know, there'd be people from Colorado. It was unbelievable, just unbelievable. Really miss those days, and I think this, I hate to say it, but that the sports show travel shows are gradually becoming smaller and smaller, and it's sad. It's sad. I think the
right.
Definitely, but they sure were fun.
Wow.
So now you were telling me a while back that they have some new, I don't know if they're new regulations as far as youngsters and boating.
Well, here in
yes,
I do.
Okay.
Here in I wouldn't say it's new. Here in New York State, a 10-year-old that has passed a safe boater's course, an approved safe boater's course, can operate a motorboat on an inland lake like Chautauqua at 10 years old without an adult on board. And so we played that up a little bit this last summer, and part of that iKids fishing show that we're doing, and we had we literally put ads in the newspaper, a casting call, you know, like a movie shoot of 10, 11, and 12-year-olds with boating licenses that wanted to come down, and we shot a video, and we got four kids, put them in four of our beautiful 16-foot Lund with 15-horse Honda rental boats that we have here. And they took four other kids, a total, you know, four boatloads of kids went fishing. And we shot this video and put it up on YouTube. And it's also on our website, iKidsFishing.com. And it's kind of surreal, a little bit of that shock and awe, but it's a neat thing. That's why they call it recreational boating in New York State. I think New York State is the youngest, or is the state that allows the youngest boat operator that's passed a boating license to drive a boat without an adult on board.
So what's involved getting a license? I mean, is it like a driver's license?
They take us. I think it's a 6-hour boating course.
Oh.
Sometimes it's split off over 2 3-hour days or 2 4-hour days. Jenna, my oldest, was 10 years old she turned 11 the end of July, but she got her license when she was 10. And we shot a video for the TV show that we're producing right now. We call it a TV show. I think a show that you watch on TV is a TV show. Some
right.
people call it TV show. It's not a TV show unless it's broadcast TV. But, you know, but we're doing this iKids fishing TV show, and Jenna was 10, and she took out a total of 9 kids out on one of our pontoon boat rentals for a day of fishing, and they had so much fun. And we got, they were driving down the lake by themselves. We shot video from another boat, and then shot video of them catching fish, and it's way too much fun.
Well, and you said you did, you added some special effects to the video.
Well, in the YouTube video, the last 10, 15, 20 seconds, we sped up the video, you know, like a Three Stooges kind of shoot or something. And
yeah.
It made the boats, it made the 16-foot boats look like they were doing 80 miles per hour going down the lake. So it kind of looked pretty surreal. And, but the kids all had a ball. We all had a ball, the parents and kids alike, because all the other, all the kids' parents that were boating were on the dock or on another boat that we kind of mirrored along the side of the other boat so we could keep an eye on them.
Oh, right. Even still, I mean, they may be able to drive the boat according to the state of New York, but they still need the
No, I'd be surprised. I mean, when I was a kid, I probably got my boating license when I was 10, 11. I remembered my friends would come and pick me up in their little ski boat, and we'd go driving down the lake, and there was no parents with us then, you know.
Really?
It's amazing. And yeah, obviously, if they had a lot of boating accidents, you'd know they changed the age, but
that's right.
I don't believe that's the case, and that's why 10-year-olds can still get a license and drive a boat in New York State.
Well, and I'll tell you, they probably do a better job than some of the ones that partake in boating and also partake in beverages.
Yeah, you know it.
And
just because somebody can afford to buy a boat doesn't mean they can. They have enough brains to drive a boat. We've seen that out there on the lake. And as I rent boats to the general public, we're very keen on being very safe-oriented, and sometimes you do. You get a guy that or a girl that's a Mr. Know-it-all or Mrs. Know-it-all, and hopefully they can get past that and learn what we need to teach them to be a safe boater before we let them take a rental boat out.
Well, that's so. Winter. When does winter start to subside for Western New York?
Right towards the end of March. I was reading in the paper the other day that they typically feel that the ice goes out here right at the end of March, early April, which is right about online. And then we hustle in the month of April to get our dock in and some of our boats and get all the cottages fired up. We open right up at the end of April, just in time for walleye opener, which in New York State is the first Saturday of May. And then we get a lot of fishing pressure, I guess you'd say, from early May until probably mid-August before it takes a break. And then it picks up again in middle of September, you know, through when we close the end of October.
So if you were, if someone called you up and said, hey, when's the best time for me to come to Chautauqua Lake to go fishing? Of course, I imagine it depends on what you're fishing for.
True. I would say early May to middle of July is great fishing. Mm-hmm. Early May for pan and walleye, all the way to middle of June for pan, fish, and walleye. Bass and muskie doesn't open in New York State until the third Saturday of June, which happens to be June 19th this year. So bass and muskie are super strong from June 19th until, you know, about the middle of August when the lake warms up to being pretty warm, and then fishing kind of turns off for a couple of 3 weeks, maybe a month. And then about the September 17th weekend is when we start seeing everybody coming back to the lake, all the serious fishermen, all the serious, you know, fishing tournaments are hitting the lake latter half of September, all of October.
So what kind of professional, who's the big names in fishing that's come up there that you've had a chance to shoot the breeze with?
It's been a few years since I've met some of the professionals here. A lot of times these tournaments, some of the big ones take place right at the beginning of the high season or in the middle of the high season, end of June, all of July, and we don't get too many of those fishermen because we're pretty much typically in a week-only rental mode here at the cottages.
Right.
And those guys are just trying to come in for a couple of three-day fishing tournaments, so they end up staying at area motels, most of the nice cottages and condominiums around the lake rent by the week only during the summertime. So we don't see a lot of those tournaments impacting us personally, but we know they impact the area, and so that's all good as well.
Well, go ahead.
They get to generate, the benefits of tourism, increased sales tax business, people spending money, which drives the economy. People have to work jobs to service these people, and it's all good.
It's big money.
Well, it is. The tourism industry in New York State's obviously one of the highest employers in the private sector for sure in New York State. And of course, New York State has probably, I'll bet you New York State has 50% of the most beautiful lakes in the country are in New York State. You got Chautauqua Lake, you got the Finger Lakes, you got Lake Placid, Lake Saranac, you got all those lakes up in the Adirondacks. I mean, it is just drop-dead gorgeous. Just like I'm sure there's beautiful lakes up there in Wisconsin and Michigan and Minnesota, the lakes of 1,000 lakes, but Chautauqua Lake and lakes in New York State, at least from where we're looking at, are some of the most beautiful ones in the country.
Well, it's definitely a very impressive country. I've been through New York State a lot. We used to go up into Syracuse and Rochester and, where else? All over the darn state. Of course, we'd go into the mess of New York City every once in a while.
Yeah.
A whole different world there, but it was always, we'd be going there in January and February and met some of the nicest folks. People are, I think a lot of times they think, well, the New Yorkers are short, but when you get out to where you're from and so forth, well, obviously you've proven that tonight, that there's some nice folks in the state of New York.
Oh, yeah. And I've never been to New York City except to fly through there on a way to vacation, but New York City is about 450 miles from us. We're in the westernmost part of the state. And between us and New York City are some beautiful country. Unbelievable.
Absolutely.
Unbelievable.
So do you see the bear? Do you see black bears in your area very often?
Yes, I haven't seen any this year, but there were plenty of reports in the newspaper of black bears, getting into people's bird feeders or scaring the stink out of them, apparently enough to draw attention to them. And I don't do very much hunting. There's real good deer hunting and turkey hunting in our part of the state, as is in a lot of the parts of New York State and Pennsylvania and Ohio.
Once we were driving through New York and we had a bear with us.
Oh, jeez.
Yes, and what was funny is the truck that we were transporting the bear in, you could see the bear through one of the windows. So we're going to, I'm thinking it was right outside of Syracuse somewhere. So we get pulled over by a sheriff, and he basically thought that we had captured the bear from New York. We found it along the road and put it in the back of the truck. So to prove to him that we did not, that this was a bear that we were using in our educational programs, we literally had to take the bear out of the truck and walk it on a leash next to the highway.
Oh my.
So the state trooper would be convinced that this wasn't a wild bear that we just found in a picnic ground. And it was one that we'd actually raised from, oh gosh, I don't know, a couple pounds probably.
Wow.
But, that was quite an eventful moment. Well, Peter, it's been absolutely outstanding. Now, we want to make sure. Now, I've got to get up there one of these days.
Oh.
I'm going to come up there and bother you.
We'll give you the red carpet treatment. We'll invite a few other, you know, Bigfoot fans up here, because I know there's been Bigfoot sightings within an hour drive of Western New York, so, I mean, you'd feel right at home up here.
Well, maybe you should have they have these conferences.
Yeah.
Where several of these researchers get together and they have it's just a party. I mean, they have speakers and we could have it right there at We Want You Cottages.
Hey, now there you go. Now you're thinking. I like the way you're thinking.
Now, I will tell you right now that it'll be a plethora of some of the most unusual folks that you've ever met, some of the nicest folks you've ever met. But there'll be a couple in there that's a little special.
Yeah, there you go.
Because, they're truly quite the event. And what a perfect place, because I know in the Adirondacks now, I know there's probably some researchers from that area that may be listening right now that can fill us in quite well with what would be where the sightings have been. But in those mountains.
We're not too far from Allegheny State Park, maybe half an hour, 40-minute drive. And, of course, that borders Allegheny National Forest in Pennsylvania. And I was reading on the Internet that they had a spotting in Allegheny National Forest some time ago, but...
Well, you know, our technical producer, Eric Altman, who is from Pennsylvania, and is a Bigfoot researcher that is close... Well, he is normal. Pretty nice guy. Would probably fill us in completely on that, because he runs all over those roads and chases down these reports.
I'll bet.
Yeah, so he's quite the authority, especially on the state of Pennsylvania, and I'm sure as sightings go up in New York, he's aware of them at the same time.
Cool.
But that might be a stunning idea.
That might be a stunning idea. I'll talk to you about that later.
So now we want all these folks that are listening tonight that want to come up and go fishing, how do they get a hold of you?
Well, the best way is to check out our website at We Want You. That's WEWANCHU.com. And they can read about Chautauqua Lake and about the fishing. And there's a fishing report website there. There's also a link on that website for Milt the Talking Muskie and our iKids fishing show that we're working on. So everything fishing that you could think about is right there at wewantyou.com.
Well, that's fantastic. Peter, we appreciate it. You want to listen now, because we've got some great shows coming up in the next few weeks, too.
I know.
Oh, Lord. Go ahead.
And I thank you very much, Larry.
Well, that's you know.
For having me.
It's been a great hour. Coming up, I should mention to everybody, in a couple weeks, fishing man himself, Dan White, Big Bass, and Bass Pro Shop, and 1st of March, Billy Sandifer from Padre Island, Texas. We're going to talk more about shark fishing and protection in that part of the country. Ophi Finoki Joe from Georgia in the Ophi Finoki Swamp and his adventures with the diamondbacks and water moccasins in that fantastic swamp in Georgia. Also, Wild Kingdom's Peter Gross is going to be on in March, so we're looking forward to that. And we're talking to Rupert. He was not able to be with us a few weeks ago, and he says he owes me bad. So right now they're getting ready to do the new Survivor show, so Survivor Rupert will be on after they return from that island adventure. This is Larry Batson. We'd like to thank Peter for being on tonight. This is Blog Talk Radio, and this is Larry Batson's Wild World. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next Thursday at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time.
Thanks, Larry.
Thank you.
You bet.
Thanks for listening this week to Larry Batson's Wild World. Be sure to join us again next week at 10 p.m. for more of the latest outdoor and wildlife news and information, along with great tales from your host, world-renowned wildlife expert, Mr. Larry Batson. Tune in again next week for another exciting edition of Larry Batson's Wild World. Larry Batson's Wild World is a Batson Wildlife Educational Services production in association with Blog Talk Radio.